Hi, friends. Thanks for listening to Pick Your Battles. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Dana, and we are here to give you professionally unprofessional parenting advice.
We're just two moms laughing as we navigate parenthood and picking our battles along the way.
But anyways, it works now. We're here.
We're on here.
We're on the internet with a return guest.
Ah.
Who
Hello.
You're with a very different perspective since we've last spoken.
Right.
Kelsey.
Hello. Am I your first return guest?
Yes.
Just tell me I am.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Perfect.
Happy to
I'm
be
sorry.
Here.
I was just going through all three seasons and it's hard to remember.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
No, but
we're wearing vastly different attire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Kelsey in a tank top, and we're literally in sweaters.
Tell me you live in Florida, and tell me you're in Michigan.
Yes. Yes.
That's funny.
Well, thanks for being here, sis.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kayla, you want to kick it off? You want to introduce?
Yes. So we asked Kelsey to be on this episode because if you don't know, or maybe you do, October is infancy and pregnancy loss awareness month, which is obviously very important. A lot of people experience it. And unfortunately, Kelsey has experienced that firsthand. And she is finally willing and able to open up about it and share her side of it. And I am going to try not to cry.
That's why I'm wearing glasses.
Yeah. Even talking about it, I get emotional.
I know.
To that whole thing. So I am so proud of you for doing this. And when you texted me a few weeks ago and you were like, hey, if you guys are ever looking for it, I'm ready to talk about it. I was like, holy shit. Wow. That's awesome. So
yeah,
I'm excited to hear your more of your side of it all.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. It's been a long journey. I think, the biggest thing or the most important thing to note at the beginning of this is my story. Like people go down harder roads. People go down easier roads. This is what I went through with Zach. And this is, just our experience. So, because it could trigger a lot of people here. So that is not my intention. So, yes.
Put the trigger warnings up there now.
Yeah.
Who does not want to listen to this episode will not hold that against you. You are allowed to listen.
Yes, because this is a hard topic.
It is. It's hard. But it's also, in some ways, I think, comforting to know that other people go through this and you're not alone and the feelings that we feel are valid. So I guess start from the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Your whole process. I mean, wherever you want to start.
Sure. The whole process, man, it's so Zach got home from deployment. And so that's when we decided we were going to start trying to have a child because he was going to be home for 3 years with the Navy. Then I could just fast forward 2 years. It didn't happen. We started seeing a fertility specialist when we first moved to Florida. So I'm still trying to date this. But so started seeing a fertility specialist when we moved to Florida, did all the testing. He did testing and it just came up with no reason that we weren't able to conceive. Like, I'm fine. He's fine. It was just an unexplained infertility is what they're classifying it as. Yeah. So the only thing that they could think of is that maybe I had endometriosis in the past and I just have really bad scarring, but they couldn't find it. Like, so we just don't know.
So I have a question. When you got that answer, if that's what we want to call it, was that like a relief or was that more frustrating because there wasn't a real reason? Like, how did that make you feel?
I think it was, that's a bittersweet answer for sure. Like, great, there's nothing wrong, but there was nothing to fix here either. Like, if you get a diagnosis, it's like, okay, now what do we do? But there were like, really no steps to like fix it. So we just had to we then went into IUIs, which is for lack of better words, it's the turkey baster of the fertility world. So it was, they took his sperm and I had to take some pills and I had to do a trigger shot to have my eggs drop, for it to burst my eggs, and so it could drop through the fallopian tube. And then at a very timed appointment, they then put his sperm where exactly where it needed to go. So I ended up getting pregnant off of that, which was great. We were thrilled off of 2 years of trying, doing fertility treatments and stuff, and then finally got pregnant off of our first round of IUI, which is pretty unheard of. Usually it takes like three. I think they usually say an average of three, because your chances increase whatever percentage each time. So that pregnancy is the one that ended in a loss. And that, I mean, I think a loss at any point in time is horrible. But it was just, we tried so hard for 2 years, started fertility, and we finally saw light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, I just remember getting that pregnancy test back and just being thrilled because of the 2 years of not having any pregnant or positive pregnancy tests. It was gut wrenching. It was horrible. And then, having gone through fertility, we went to a lot of ultrasounds. So they think the baby passed around 8 weeks, but we had seen the baby multiple times before then because of fertility. They track it really closely. So the heartbeat kept getting lower and lower. And then they kept telling us, well, there's always a miracle. Sometimes this kicks back up. We don't ever know. So then we just kept hope. But I think I kind of just knew, and just with the whole process was getting kind of jaded too about it. So, yeah, it was the last ultrasound appointment, we went all together to all of them. But I saw Zach's face because Zach was watching the screen and he knew when it came up on the screen. So we gave it some time, and then my body did not get rid of the child by itself. So I ended up having to have a DNC. And that was 5 days before we went to the Dominican Republic on our vacation. And we were going to announce to you guys, Kayla and Xander knew the whole time, but we were going to announce to the group.
Yeah.
Because we were going to an all-inclusive, and if I'm not drinking, you guys were going to know something was up. So we were going to tell you guys that at that trip. And so very bittersweet, but I got to enjoy my drink package. We're looking for the positives here.
The glass half full, I suppose.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that was really, that was heart-wrenching. It was one of the hardest things I've been through. Still sneaks up and hits you every once in a while. It's wild. My sister had a baby 10 days before I was supposed to give birth to that child. And so that was really hard. And yeah, and it's just something that I just don't wish on anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So now tell us about the second half, because now you have Monty. So yes. Let's walk through the whole scenario, because then I have questions about Wolf. So then.
Great.
All that, but you kickstarted it. You didn't really give yourself time to fully get over it. You were we're going to suck it up and we're going to keep going and we're going to do this
now. Yes. I have always felt like I'm running out of time. I am 34, which I know is young, but not in the fertility world. It's really not. My mom had me at 37. I've always wanted to have kids earlier than that because I want more time with my mom. And so I just didn't ever want to do that. But then fertility put us kind of kept taking it longer and longer to happen. So then, so the DNC was August, we went to the Dominican second week of August, probably. And we ended up going through IVF the next round. So typically they do say, hey, do IUI 3 rounds. But my insurance did not make me do that. And I had really great insurance through my company for fertility benefits. So we wanted to just go the next step. Because if we were going to have to, we were thinking about the future. If we were going to have to do IVF again, if we wanted multiple kids, it would just make more sense to do IVF now and have those eggs ready to go than have to continuously do IUI. And I didn't want to keep, for lack of better words, waste time. So yeah, we did. I started fertility, like the IVF medications, in September. My HCG had to drop to a certain point before we could start that.
And that's your pregnancy hormone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it had to drop to like 5. And I think I was in like a couple hundred when you're pregnant or something like that. It drops pretty quickly, though, once you have none of that in your body. So, yeah, I missed the August date because it wasn't low enough. So then we had to start in September. And my fertility, I don't know how other fertility clinics work, but mine does you as a group. So they have everybody, or like they have like 12 of us doing September. So then they track and we have to be on like a schedule, which we really struggled to keep up with that schedule because I was struggling with insurance for the fertility or the IVF medications. And we were in the middle of a hurricane.
Yes.
So like they couldn't even ship to me. And so it was because the no mail was coming because there was a hurricane. So that was very stressful. But we figured it out. It was a lot of medications and pills. And I think without insurance, we were looking at like $15,000 just for the medication. So luckily we figured that out. And then, yes, it's like I said, pills, vaginal suppositories, shots. Zach had to do multiple shots every day because I couldn't. I know it's just hard. And so he was able to detach a little easier than giving yourself a shot, like multiple a day. So, and that just takes you on a roller coaster of emotions of now you're injecting all of these hormones. You're dealing with a miscarriage that you just had a month ago. It was really hard for both of us on all different ends of it. So we did. It was like October 17th, I believe, of last year that I did the surgery to remove the eggs. And I ended up getting hyper ovarian stimulation. And that happened. We were actually in New Orleans for Taylor Swift when it hit me. My ovaries got too big because I had too much HCG in my system. Because with IVF, you can do a frozen or a fresh transfer. Some people are required to do frozen, like if you have PCOS. Yeah, you're required to do it because your HCG is already, like your hormones are already too high. So mine, my body was making too many eggs too fast. And the limit that they stop you at and make you do a fresh or a frozen transfer is 17. Well, I was supposed to get 16. AI like told the doctors that I was going to get 16. So they pulled me a day early. So I ended up getting 15 eggs, which is great. That's a huge number. I'm very grateful for that. We currently have 11 frozen. So we're going to have a basketball team.
Yep.
We could. I'm not. So yeah, so I was really pushing for a fresh transfer. Again, just a timeline thing for me in my head. I was counting down because the fresh transfer could be done 5 days after you take the eggs out. And then a frozen has to be done 2 weeks, minimum of 2 weeks after. So it was just, and then you get into the insurance world, you have to pay then to take the frozen out of it. And then, so it was an extra added cost that we just like didn't want to incur too. If we could avoid it.
Yeah.
Luckily we did. And yeah, so I got that side of things, the giant ovaries, and I was 4 weeks pregnant and I looked like I was like 6 months pregnant because I was so swollen and my ovaries were humongous. And so it was really very, very painful, very uncomfortable. It took me to the ground in New Orleans, which don't sit on the ground in New Orleans. It's gross. So
I remember you, that one morning you woke up and you were like, I thought I was going to die last night.
I did. Yeah.
Yes. And we were like, oh, shit. You good?
Yeah. And I'm like,
we're going to go see Taylor tonight still, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I will die at Taylor Swift. It's fine. Like, we're going to go to that. Yeah. So then got pregnant. And that pregnancy has resulted in our four-month-old, Monty. So that pregnancy was high risk from the very beginning because of IVF. We were told at 30, I wasn't allowed to go past 39 weeks with that pregnancy, just because after that, apparently with IVF and what they do outside of the body, it can really, like, it can increase your chances of having a stillbirth past 39 weeks. Well, then at 16 weeks, I ended up getting placenta previa, and that stuck around my entire pregnancy. So then I couldn't give birth past 37 weeks. So I had to have a scheduled C-section at 37 weeks because I had placenta previa, which, I mean, he was almost 8 pounds. I can't imagine what he would have been 3 weeks later. So, you know, give or take here, okay? Again, give or take.
No kidding. You would have had to have a C-section anyways because he would not
right.
naturally.
Right. And they, like, every time the doctors, that was a high risk appointment, or I had to see high risk MFM throughout my entire pregnancy. The first 11 weeks was an ultrasound every week with fertility, which was great because you got to see them. But then you always see, like, the posts about, hey, this is great. You get to see them. I wish I could see my child more. But it's like, at coming off of a loss, you're kind of just waiting for bad news with all of these. Like, my anxiety was so high, I cried at every appointment. Like, it's not the happy-go-lucky sonograms that everybody sees.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, really hard on that. But then at 11 weeks, fertility was like, we're done with you. Good luck. Like, you have to go to your OB now. And then I had to go see MFM, which is high risk. And I saw them throughout my entire pregnancy. Had a bleed at 10 weeks, but that was just like a normal pregnancy hematoma.
Okay.
The subchorionic hematoma is terrifying, but was normal.
Yeah.
And then at, what was it, 30? Oh, yeah, it was my last week on the road, because when I was traveling every week, I was coming off the way, at 32 weeks, I was coming off the road. And I ended up getting admitted into the hospital in just north of Atlanta, Georgia, because I started bleeding in the hotel room. And with placenta previa, any type of blood is like emergency. And so Zach ended up driving out from Jacksonville, Florida. Kind of went AWOL, but didn't, like, he told his command, but he just had to really check in. Because they're like, one of our sailors is just driving across the country right now in the middle of the night. But that ended up being fine. The bleeding stopped. And then I was able to make it to our 37-week C-section.
Yeah.
And I think Zach is fighting for his life in there right now with him. But you know what? He's healthy. That's great.
Yes. He's a healthy boy.
Yep.
He's a healthy boy now. So I have lots of questions. And obviously, great. I had, like, you know, behind the scenes, and I was getting all the details and all the downloads. And, like, it's so funny when you're talking about all this, I remember, like, oh shit, I remember that phone call in the hurricane, and you're like, these meds aren't gonna come and I need them and we're gonna pay so much money. Like, I remember that. But I guess I know the answer, but I want you to say, like, was there ever a point in your pregnancy with Monty that you finally felt secure and safe and excited?
No. Excited, yes. Safe and secure, absolutely not.
Go ahead.
I was going to say my anxiety was high throughout the entire thing. I was convinced myself I was going to lose him at all times.
Yeah. Do you think that if you had waited a longer time in between, maybe, and had, like, gone through those emotions more, that would have helped? Or do you think that, like, wouldn't have mattered if it was 2 years later or 2 months later, you would have felt that same way with the first pregnancy after losing a child, losing a pregnancy?
I think it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
I think even, God willing, the next pregnancy, I will be the same way. Yeah. I think that. So I know other people that have lost a child and then got pregnant again and now have a child after their loss, and it was the same way too. So I don't know. I'm for sure a worrier. And like that, Zach and I are very different on that aspect. So if the baby didn't move for 20 minutes, Zach didn't love constantly hearing, hey, I think the baby is no longer alive. That ended up taking a toll after a while. But that's just like what my brain told me constantly. And so it got better when the baby was consistently moving. So, but that was until like 22, 25 weeks.
Yeah.
Ish. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't announce the pregnancy to like the masses, like our family and friends knew, but we didn't announce it until 6 months. And I didn't know if we were going to announce it at all.
Yeah.
I just knew that we were having the baby shower and I knew people were going to want to post to talk about it because everybody's traveling to Florida. So I just didn't want to take that away from other people too. So kind of just, yeah, we sucked it up and announced it 6 months. Sorry.
How did you decide to tell like family about the loss? Because I know someone who had a loss, I don't know why she told me, but has not told anybody. That is something that her and her husband are like going to the grave with. No one needs to know. I don't remember exactly how early. I think it must have been between like 6 and 10 weeks. But either way, it was a loss. And they were like, we're not saying. No one needs to know. It's nobody's business. So what was your kind of thought about saying that?
I think it was hard to not, like, people knew that I was pregnant because going through fertility, and all of that, like our families are so closely following it. They've been following it for 2 years. They know we've been trying to get pregnant for 2 years. They know we're seeing a specialist. And that is, I don't want to say complaint, but complaint that I did have about IVF and stuff. Like it didn't get to be secret. We didn't get to announce it to our families, like because they knew I was having the surgery. They knew I was having the implantation. They knew like the whole timeline, the medications, the hurricane, everything. So we didn't really get to tell, like, people just knew that I was pregnant or knew that we were trying. And then, like, my mom is my best friend. So the second we got a positive pregnancy test, we told her. And so we didn't tell my sisters until, I think, the loss. Yeah, I was going to announce it to them around 12 weeks, and then I didn't get to announce that. And so, yeah, and my sister was pregnant. Like, again, we would have had our kids. That was really hard too. My twin sister and I would have had kids within 10 days of each other. But yeah, so it was, I didn't get to really make that decision. And I feel like a lot of the decisions were taken away from me through that whole process too. Mm-hmm. I struggle with that a lot. So, but yeah, their parents or family didn't know that they were pregnant and they have a loss. And that's really hard for them. And they don't know if they don't feel like they need to have a community, which not everybody does. And that's, you don't necessarily need that. And that's totally fine. Everybody grieves this in different ways. And I don't think any answer is the right answer. I don't think there's any one right answer here. So you grieve how you grieve.
Do you think you guys will try naturally if and when the time comes, or because you have the eggs, you'll still just go through IVF, like in order to maybe try to get that like on our terms kind of idea?
Right. Yeah. So this is we've had a long, long talks with our doctor about it because we are thinking a second child in the future. Again, I'm still on a timeline. It's all a timeline to me, and it's hard. Yes, we want it to be naturally, but in a perfect world pre-pregnancy, I told you guys I was having Irish twins. I told you guys like that was going to happen. We were going to do this. Like pre-pregnancy, I'd be pregnant again. I could not imagine that now. And I'm not allowed to because I had a C-section. Yeah. So they want me to wait at least a year to 18 months for my internal healing. So they're like not having uterine ruptures and stuff. I told them I would give them 10 months and we would start trying naturally. And they said that that's fine. And I told Zach that we would try naturally for 2 months. We would get to that year mark of my body healing. And then we would just do IVF after that. Because we have 11 eggs. Like, what are we going to do with them? You know? So, yes, we would love the opportunity to conceive naturally. But for us, why? I mean, what do you do with them after that?
I never really thought of, you know, you have these eggs. Is there some type of guilt that comes along with it? Like, now there's this potential, not that you're going to have 11 children, but do you feel the maternal urge or need to use them?
No. I think if I'm understanding your question correctly, no. Do I feel the need to, that if we're going to have more kids, use them? Yes, I think that's what we're going to try and do. Because again, I mean, we're paying for them. And again, like, and it's, the chances of it being a healthier child are higher. Like, just because the embryologist, they look at them, they pick out the best ones. Like, the embryo that Monty came from was the best of the ones that I had. And we always joke that our next kids, like our next child, is going to be twins with Monty, because they were conceived at the same time. They were conceived and fertilized and at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very interesting if you think about it that way.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of circle back to the loss aspect of it.
Sure.
So as you're going through all these milestones with Monty, are there ever moments that grief hurts? Because you're like, you hit the what if, or do you feel, I don't know, I guess I just want to know your aspect of it, because, you know, there's so many, infancy and pregnancy loss is such a spectrum, right? You could give birth to a stillborn, you could lose them at 6 weeks, you could lose them at, like, literally any time. So as that carries over into your next pregnancy and your next baby, and now you have this healthy baby, are there ever times that grief hit with the what could have been?
Yes, every once in a while. Zach and I actually just talked about this on the 15th, which was the day everybody was supposed to light their candles. So for the month, for the pregnancy and infancy loss awareness. So I was lighting the candle on Zach's side. We were talking about it, and we're holding Monty. It's bedtime, so we're like rocking him and stuff. And I was like, it's really bittersweet, because like, we have the most perfect child. He's the best thing that's ever happened to us. But then it's like, we would almost have like an 8-month-old almost if things had worked out right. And Zach was like, yeah, but we wouldn't have Monty. And I was like, no, totally. Like, I couldn't imagine not having him. But obviously you never know what would have happened. Like, you don't know what that child would have been like. Like, would it have been a boy? Would it have been a girl? Like, I don't know. So sometimes the unknowns are hard. I think it was harder coming up to the time, my due date for the first one. That was really hard.
Yeah.
Or like, anytime I used to open my iPad while being pregnant, I hadn't like updated on my iPad the pregnancy loss. And so I would get notifications saying, oh, you're 6 months pregnant. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, yes, the grief hits. But also, like, it's really hard not to, like, count my blessings with what we do have now. Because, honestly, I could ask for more now.
Okay, so the statistic is 1 in 4 women go through infancy and pregnancy loss. And our group is pretty much statistic.
Yeah. That's so, really good. I have never.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Sorry, Jules, that you had to be that one.
You know, pretty dramatic. So somebody had to do it here, okay?
Somebody had to. And I should say, like, I mean, as far as I know, Becca hasn't suffered a loss, so maybe that I'm speaking out of turn. But from what I know,
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's 1 in 4. And I mean, I would be completely lying if I said a very big reason I don't want to have another child is the chance of that happening. Like, I'm good on like many reasons, but like between postpartum depression, just me as a person, like I'm good with having one if it means I won't have to don't go through. I just can't and I won't and I don't want to.
I think that's also great to know that about yourself too. You're aware. So
yeah. So I mean, has that like ever crossed your mind of like, are we just good? Or, you know, like you just want to have more kids and like that's all you've wanted.
I think I would be good if Zach wasn't so adamant about a second.
Okay.
I'm sure you all know that. I know Kayla knows about the Armstrongs, but you have to keep the line going and the Armstrong name. And
yeah, but you heard line.
The line is go.
I know. The Armstrongs just love procreating and want to be having children. And so, and I don't say that with any disrespect. I've always envisioned having two. But we even had, like, from my further in the past, yeah, this was 2020 when I had my cervical cancer scare. So, like, we had to have that talk about, like, if they can't fix it or if it's just worse than they, like, once they get in there, what we were going to do. If we were going to adopt, if we were going to try, like, take eggs and see if what was going to happen. But, like, they always talk worst case. They're like, hey, this could be a hysterectomy. You just don't know. And so Zach wanted to use a surrogate at that point. And like, I just didn't think I was going to be down for that. Mm-hmm. Just because like, I didn't know if I couldn't carry my child, if I wanted somebody else to carry my child, you know, like, so we kind of had to have that conversation already a little bit. So no, I mean, yes, the loss aspect is definitely terrifying, but I think we're definitely going to try for another when the time comes. Mm-hmm. So.
And if when that time comes, if you experience a loss again, having gone through it already, do you think you'll be more jaded? Or do you think each one, I mean, and this is a question that I would love to ask somebody who has unfortunately experienced multiple losses, but like, do you ever give up? Does it ever get easier? Like, I cannot imagine.
I don't know. I feel like I got pretty jaded during this process, and it's hard for me to imagine being more jaded. I don't know. That's a really hard one. Like, if we experienced another loss, would we keep trying? I don't know. I'm just hoping with the IVF side and the science behind it, it might not happen, but always could.
I think it's fair to accept, like, you don't know what you don't know. Like, I think you even said earlier, you had this pre-pregnancy, this was what was going to happen and this is how it was going to feel and yada, yada, yada. And maybe that was going to be the case, but you didn't really know. This
right.
is just kind of what you were envisioning. And so I think it could be very different. And I think if it's the same or if it's very different, or you feel empowered or you feel defeated or you feel lost or whatever, I think that's okay. It's going to be what it's going to be. And you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Yeah. I really struggled with, and you hear it all the time, but like my friends getting pregnant and it's like, oh, we're going to start trying in February and they're pregnant by March.
Yeah.
Or like just have the healthiest pregnancies, which is I would get angry seeing posts. And I was like talking to Zach about it and stuff. And he's like, well, Kelsey, like this not. And I was like, it's 100% not fair to these people. I'm not taking it out on them. I'm not telling them about this. I'm talking to you. I 100% understand that this is a me problem. 100%. I am very thankful and grateful and happy that they're able to have their families and go through what they're going through and not go through what we've been through. But that doesn't make it easier for me.
100%.
So I think I really had to be able to separate those things. I'm not mad at you guys. Like, I'm very grateful and happy you guys are going through what you're going through. But like, still sucks, man.
Was there anybody that you had to distance yourself from, maybe because they were going through a pregnancy? Or like with your sister, did you ever feel like you had to distance yourself from her a bit because it hit too close to home for you?
I don't think so. My sister's been like super respectful, didn't ever want, like she got a migraine, like a really bad migraine, and her doctor told her she needed to go to the emergency room. Well, my mom didn't tell me for days because she didn't like want me to worry. Or, like, so like my sister's always been like super respectful and mindful of my feelings in this aspect. So no, I don't think so. And a lot of my friends are like friends that don't live here. So that I'm not seeing on a regular basis. Like another friend out here, she had had a loss previously. So it's like, you're just super thankful that they're pregnant too. And like, so I think I don't really think I was going, I was going to say going through this while somebody else is pregnant, but that's not true. But no, like that's somebody that I was able to talk to about a lot of this because she had been through it. And so a lot of it's like internet friends, they're good friends, but like live across the country or something. So, yeah. No, I don't think so. It was hard because I had to carry the baby for a little bit, knowing it was not probably going to make it because the doctors kept saying, hey, who knows what's going to happen? And we ended up going to a baby shower during that time frame. And I knew that I was carrying a dead child.
Yeah.
So that was really hard. We didn't stay super long because I just couldn't do it. But like, it was not her fault. And I didn't want, and like, I knew she would 100% understand, but like, I was just going to do what I could. My therapist was like, just go. And if you need to leave, then leave.
Yeah.
Because she knew my conflicting feelings on it. Like, I wanted to go and be there for that friend. So I don't know. It's hard. And again, there's no right answer. If you have to distance yourself from people, that shouldn't be an issue. Like, when you come back and are able to have those conversations, that should be understood, and just know that you can't be a part of it for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just, yeah.
Is there anything, so from our point of view as the family and the friends who are watching you go through it and watching you struggle, are there things that you would advise people to avoid saying, to avoid doing, or what was really helpful for you? Like, what are some tips that you could give to the outside people of what to say and what not to say, or what to do, how to act, and how not to act?
Ooh, yes. Again, I think it really is going to depend on that person. Like, you listen to your people. If they're not responding right away or like struggling to respond for days, like, don't keep pushing, but just like make sure that they know that you're there. Whenever the time comes, just be like, hey, I'm sorry you're going through something, like, whenever you're ready. But then some people do need you to be there and check up on them and stuff. So that's also really hard. I thankfully have a very supportive husband and was in therapy at this time. So I think that also helped. And my boss was super understanding, and I was able to take some time, at least off the road. And so it's just, I would suggest not continuously bringing it up in the future. Like, I know when I was pregnant, we were getting the notifications, or it was on people's calendars that I would have been giving birth to the first child. Maybe don't talk about that with them if they're not ready to talk about that, especially pregnant. That wasn't great. The emotions to hear that. Just be there as much as you can. It Yeah, it's a really touchy subject. So I think it kind of really has to be know that person. Yeah. And just do the best you can while they're doing the best they can. So, mm-hmm. And that's not really great advice. Like, it's just, they don't really have an answer. It's just so hard. So,
will you tell Monty about the baby before him?
Probably. I envision having a very open, honest relationship with him. You know, I mean, as much as you can. Like, but yeah, I would assume so. Yeah. And then explaining to him that he's IVF and yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Love to figure that out, but
yeah.
You've got a few years.
Yeah.
Is there something you would... Not that one should ever change grief, but is there something in hindsight, looking back, that you try to do differently with your next pregnancy?
On a grief aspect?
Maybe not necessarily. Maybe yes, but also like just... I don't know. Even if it's like be outside more or like, I don't know.
Yeah. Another reason why I say like when I say I'm jaded, it has to do with that. Like, I don't like Kayla asked. I don't think I got to enjoy this pregnancy. Like after so long and doing so much, it just was hard the entire time emotionally too. I didn't get to like announced to the family like that I was pregnant, because again, everybody's tracking everything. Like, yes, we announced the gender, which is great, which I think next time I kind of don't want to know, but Zach's not all for that, so we'll figure that out. And I also don't mind knowing either, so I think it would be fun to be able to announce, like I told Zach, if we have to do IVF again, I kind of don't want to tell people that we're doing IVF. And then we can just go about it our way. A lot of it was just very high anxiety, something that I also feel really bad about is that I am a very loud, open person about my opinions and my feelings. And if I feel something or think something, people are going to know about it. I didn't talk about this process at all. Like, on the internet or like with people outside of like our small group, like anybody that like I'd see and they'd want to talk about it, sure. But I live in Florida and there's people here that think that like God's will, if I didn't get pregnant naturally, that wasn't God's will. And we have people that are like so against IVF because that wasn't God's plan.
Yeah.
And whatever religion, whatever you think, it's hard to talk about it with groups of people that one, have never gone through it and never had to make that decision. And so I felt really bad throughout the pregnancy and felt guilty about not speaking about it, because it is such like a taboo topic that shouldn't be a taboo topic. And I wasn't not talking about it because it was taboo. I was not talking about it because I just like I couldn't mentally or physically do it at that point in time, because I just hadn't dealt with what was going on in my life to be able to like be there for other people, which I was there for some people, but it was just not to the extreme that I usually do things at. And so I don't know. I think some people can kind of understand like when I'm posting about pregnancy loss and stuff, but like that could just be like a blanket statement for other people. And so, yeah, I think this is the first step of that, which is great. So thank you for that, allowing me to do that. But yeah, I think trying to take deeper breaths and hopefully enjoy more of it going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not be so worried the entire time, but that also just doesn't seem like me. I'm gonna just be worried.
Well, hopefully you can be worried while still knowing pregnancy, it's only so long. and then they're on the outside. And now that you've been through pregnancy, you know, the second time around, it's so cool because you know what's happening. Like you've been there, you've done it. Like, yes, you're still going to be scared that, you know, something's going to go wrong, but you'll be able to recognize. And so when that happens for you, hopefully you're able to slow down and enjoy a little bit.
I definitely, in the baby blues section of post-pregnancy, I definitely grieved my pregnancy. Because then when he was here, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get to enjoy it. I didn't, like, man, baby blues is wild. But, oh gosh. But yeah, I just was so upset that I didn't get to, enjoy really any part of it because of my anxiety and just what could happen.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, I just want to tell her, like, you're going to miss being pregnant, but with also knowing, like, this isn't just your normal, like, easy breezy, beautiful pregnancy time, you know? So, like, I think it's also okay to reflect and say, like, oh, I get it, right? Like, being on the other side, like, yes, being pregnant can be uncomfortable. I mean, you're, you know, an additional X amount of pounds and you're like, you know, big.
Yeah.
Your hips and your knees. And I remember you had the worst heartburn and having experienced heartburn recently. What the fuck is that?
I used to have heartburn so bad I would throw up in the middle.
I did.
And it makes it so much worse then too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I did. And I was like, I can't be pregnant.
Yeah.
Why do I have this heartburn? I literally sat up and was like, I have to puke. And like,
oh my God.
That is an evil shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Wild.
Well, and so I'm going to be the opposite of Dana, whereas I will say I do not enjoy being pregnant. So for me, that is one of the top two reasons why I will not have any more kids, because I don't want to be pregnant again. If I could just, I will even give birth. I would give birth because that pain is very painful, but only for this amount of time, whereas you're pregnant for 9-10 months. Like, nope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I did love being pregnant.
You did. Yeah.
You were pregnant during COVID.
I know.
That's...
Like, that sucked. Like, that's, you know, I mean,
also,
it sucked.
You got to just, like, chill at home.
I don't remember really being. It was a very weird, scary time.
Oh, yeah.
100%. It was.
And you went on a lot of walks.
You don't know dick about what the fuck is happening in the world. And you're like, now I have. Can I
talk first kid?
Like,
that's true.
You can go to any of your appointments.
Because it was all. Oh, that's, horrible.
Very true.
So, I mean, there's always, like, you know, there's always something.
Yeah.
But.
It's always something.
I did like to be pregnant.
Yeah, you're 9 months pregnant at Kayla and Xander's wedding. Like,
yeah.
Just she rocking
was,
it.
She was 40 weeks pregnant painting their freaking grill Zeebo. And Jimmy's sitting in a chair drinking beer. They're like, really sitting funny.
Like, I got it, babe.
Aren't you getting induced tomorrow?
That's crazy.
Do you want to sit down?
No, I was like, no, I'll sit down tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll lay down when I can't feel my lower extremities. It's going to be fine.
I guess really the last one is just battle, right? The battle question.
Yes. Yep.
Take it away.
So going through everything that you've gone through, I guess, whether it comes from experiencing a loss or going through IUI and IVF, what is a battle that you choose to or not to pick in the future? I know. I don't think you have a better way to word that.
I thought that was worded well. Like, I think it was kind of, I think I kind of accidentally asked that question just a second ago. Like, maybe what would you change? But, you know, would it be... So this, like during the first pregnancy, you were like, I'm doing a fresh transfer. Is that a battle you would also pick for next time? Or is there something else that you would like, this is a non-negotiable? Or you picked it last time and you're like, eh.
That doesn't matter to me anymore.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. So just to clarify, I can't do a fresh transfer on the next one because that's right after the surgery, before they freeze everything. So we have to do a frozen next time because I'm not doing the surgery again. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Since I have a basketball team frozen right now, currently. So, yes, we'll have to do a frozen. We've toyed around. I've mentioned it to Zach, and Zach does not like the idea, but we're at the stage of IVF where we can pick the gender. So we've talked about it, if we wanted a girl or if we're just going to let fate decide. And I think we're going to let fate decide. But that is an option at this point for our stage of things. Because to be able to do that, you'd have to go through exactly what we went through. And we're here. So no, that's not really a battle I'd pick. I don't know. I think hopefully it will be a high-risk pregnancy to the extent of IVF, but hopefully not everything else. And just, like, I think maybe prioritizing my mental health a little bit more, which is hard because fertility took me off of all medications. And so I was still going to therapy and stuff, so I was doing what I could. But just really trying to be in the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, again, is going to be also hard with a child. And then Zach's going to start deploying again soon, too. So it's like, that's going to be wild.
I feel for you. I hope that somehow the universe lines it up that you are wildly pregnant in the summer so that Mason and Atlas and I can just come down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot imagine being pregnant with a toddler alone.
Yeah, that's what we're definitely going to have to figure out. So, did I answer your question at all?
Yep.
I think so.
That'd be great.
That is the battle you will pick, your mental health, as you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, as everyone should.
You have a tendency to show up for others 110%. And it's okay to only do it 40% so that you can give yourself the other 60.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely have to figure that out. Yes. So, yeah. See what happens. We're just working with this kid, too. And SIDS is terrifying, but we just found out that after 4 months, SIDS way less of a risk. So, our pediatrician just told us that. So, going from that pregnancy anxiety into having a child and this child's now going to die in a sleep anxiety, and I have all the monitors, and Kayla had not, like, I just remember having the conversation with Polly about the outlet.
Yes.
Where, like, you refused to have the outlet and I bought it in the hospital. Like, yes. I just didn't get it, and I, like, had to have it before we got home because I couldn't sleep through the night in the hospital just knowing he was just, nobody's watching this child.
Yes.
Like, so yes,
I've met
so many hits in different ways, man.
Totally. And I also have anxiety. And, like, for, again, I think we talked about this a few episodes ago. Like, people are allowed to use current technology however they want. If it makes them feel more anxious, if it makes them feel less anxious, mm-hmm. like, who the hell cares? Just because one person does it one way does not mean that that's the correct way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we're at 4 months and we're still tracking every bottle, every nursing, every sleep, every diaper.
A medium, small or small?
A medium, small. It was a medium.
Probably at this point, it's just like habit.
It's so habit. Like, yeah. And it's great to look back and see it. And, like, yeah.
He's going to be 4 years old and he's going to be like, mommy, smell big.
Yes. It goes pee then poop, Dana, if you didn't.
I know.
Okay.
I remember hearing about it.
Yes. So, I mean, he's going to be wearing his outlet at his wedding. Like, we're going to figure this out. Okay. Him and his wife, or him and his partner, can cut it off when they see fit. But, you know. It's
like a chastity sock.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to outfit it for an adult. Yes.
Well, I always joke that, like, I am going to be cutting up Mason and Atlas's grapes at their wedding because, God forbid, my child choke on a grape. So, like, same, 100%. Same.
100%.
Be that great? Absolutely. Should I cut it into fourths? Probably, just to be safe.
Yeah. I'm going to be breastfeeding until he's 16. Let's be business. It's not. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, my God. I'm dead.
Dana was like, is Wyatt living on his own yet?
I know. Did Wyatt get his own apartment? Like,
do you want to marry my son?
Yeah.
When is boarding school?
I mean, some days. Yeah. Other days, I'm like,
you're my best friend, right?
And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Right. Okay.
Don't tell anyone that I care. But okay.
Yeah. Just checking, but we're still besties.
Just checking.
Yes, of course.
But he's like, I don't want to get married. I was like, I mean, you don't have to, but yeah. Like, okay. And I didn't ask. I don't know why you're like, I didn't ask. It's okay.
He just came up to you one day. I don't want to get married.
Yeah. Dang. Okay.
Don't.
Maybe I'm because like, he saw me like eye roll at Jimmy. Like, he's like, I'm
you married?
That looks. When we were going to your house the other weekend, Dana, Mason and Nat, or it was afterwards, they were very confused, like, why it had two rooms. Why does he have two rooms and two beds? And I was like, because one is his room and one is his playroom. Well, why isn't there another kid in there? If they have an extra room, why don't they have another kid for that room? I was like, because they just want one. They just want Wyatt. Wyatt's their perfect kid. But there's two rooms, so shouldn't there be two kids? I was like, no, because Wyatt gets two rooms, and that's super cool. But the downfall is he doesn't have a brother or a sister to play with and to fight with like you do. And Atlas was like, me want two rooms.
Yeah.
I was like, well, sorry, buddy. You do have a playroom, but like, okay.
That's awesome. Well, there's technically, he has three rooms. I mean, then there's a whole other guest bedroom. We have two guest bedrooms, so.
That's true.
Me want three rooms. Or two rooms.
Me want two rooms. And then we saw an adult the other day walk into the gym, and Mason was like, where's their children? And I was like, probably doesn't have any. She was like younger. Or maybe they're at school. No, she's an adult. She has to have children. I was like,
going into the gym, you have to have children.
Yeah, I was like, nope, you're wrong. You're wrong. You'll see.
Wait till you're older.
Thank you for sharing. It's funny, we did an episode, like in our very first season, we had like three different people experiencing all different kinds of pregnancy and infant loss. And they were obviously like our, you know, friends or people we knew or whatever. But I think it just hits different when it's your family. Your friends, family, you know, sister-in-law. So thanks for doing that. I hope you feel like some sort of benefit from it. Like that you did it for you and not, you know, to not help for us have an episode.
No, for sure. No, I do feel great about it. Thank you so much.
Good. Well, I want to nibble on Monty's cheeks and toes, and that's all I got.
Yes.
Thank you.
Love it.
Well, just remember that it's okay to pick your battles.
And it's okay if you pick the wrong one.